This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
God continues to bless us. And on this first Sunday, we're excited as we get ready to hear from God. Yes, 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 Independence Day, 4th of July. But as we come today, let's look at our scripture. 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. And it reads, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother." Let us pray. God, our creator, sustainer, redeemer, and deliverer, we ask right now in a very special way that you speak to us, we your servants, that we might hear your word and then follow your word and do your will. God, we ask as we seek to do the work you called us to do, that as you continue to empower us, guide us, and direct us, that we would be everything you designed us to be. Bless now, God. Move in our homes, move in our families, move in our community, and we will give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our subject for today's message, taken from 1 John chapter 4, no fear. No fear. Again, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear." Are you afraid? Are you afraid to do God's will? Our theme for this year is, this is a year of action. We have learned many things, but yet there are so many things we have to still implement. It's important to learn, but even more important to put into action that we've learned. Are we not doing God's will because we are fearful? Are we afraid? Are you scared? Think about it. Why have we not done all God has called us to do, especially in such a time as this? We've talked about getting commitments as we work through our social justice initiative. Yet we gotta come and understand, when we make commitments, are we willing to do this? Or are we afraid to do what we really have been called to do? We're still seeking a transformation in our community. We need to eradicate crime in our community. We need gun violence and domestic violence to completely come to a halt. And as people of faith, we believe God can do it. God's word teaches us that God is able. So seeing that we know God and we know that we care for our community, let's look at three reasons why we should have no fear when it comes to doing God's will. First, God loves us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it states, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." But when we look at 1 John 4:18, let's take a moment and look back a little further. You know, sometimes you understand what one pastor says, you gotta look before what happens to see what's going on. So in 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 15, we find these words. "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. We have come to know God, and we have to come to believe in the love that God has for us. No, I'm serious. Do you really believe that God loves you? In spite of what the world has thrown your way, in spite of what others have said about you and around you, and in places where you didn't know they were talking about you, do you believe that God loves you even though there's so many who might even infer that they don't love you or care for you or can't stand you? Do you know that God loves you? Take time, I'm serious, take time right now. Just type in the chat. If you believe God loves you, say, I know God loves me. Go ahead, take time. If you believe, if you're not sure, you can say, well, I think God loves me. But if you know, and you show that you know, that God loves you, I'm telling you, God does, just type it in right now. I know God loves me. All right, while you're typing, I just want to take this time. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. Yes, yes, Jesus loves you. I know God loves me. I see you typing. I know. Listen, you have to know that God loves and cares for you. That's the first step in being able to do the work he's called us to do, to be able to trust him with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. I know he loves me. And he loves you not just because of what you've been through that you think he loves you, but he even loves you in spite of everything you've been through. He loves you. God loves you. He cares for you. He cares for me. The word of God is clear. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you. Pastor, why are you staying on that point? Because I want you to know that. I want you to know that deep down in your heart and your soul. Take time to understand. I will have no fear because God loves me. You know, there's so many stories of those who weren't fearful. I remember the story of a little boy that was on a plane, and as they were flying through a storm, they would hit a bump, and every time they hit a bump, people said, ooh, that's not normal. Every time they hit turbulence, they were going through turbulence, and they couldn't understand why they were going through our turbulence. So everybody started getting so excited. Everybody started getting, I can't understand what's going on. And it became very fearful. But yet there was a young man, a boy, sitting in the seat. Not too far from comfort, but he was in the seat. And the lady said, young man, you're not scared? You're not afraid? You see how the plane is doing? He said, no, I'm not afraid. Or why aren't you scared? Look at everybody else. Everybody else is fearful. He said, I'm not scared. My daddy is the pilot. And I know he knows I'm on board. I'm good. Wow. If we could go through life doing God's will, knowing that God knows you're on board, knowing that God knows I'm on board, knowing that God knows we're on board, everything, not just will be all right, but everything is all right. Because God loves us. There's no fear because God loves us. Secondly, there's no fear because we are empowered by God. Not only does he love us, he has empowered us to do his will. We're not just going out willy-nilly doing the will God wants us to do. We're not willy-nilly going about doing things that we think God would want us to do. We're doing things that God would have us to do because God has empowered us to do it. We have the power to do his will. We have the power to live like he wants us to live. We have the power to give like he wants us to give. We have the power to work like he wants us to work. We have the power to serve like God wants us to serve. He has empowered us for such a time as this. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It states, one of my favorite verses. I like to do King James Version on this, but I'll do ESV also. ESV, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power and work within us. King James put it this way, and now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, comma, but it's according to the power that works in us. Yes, God can snap his finger and change all this stuff in our community. He could blink his eye and change everything in this whole world. But he chooses to use us. Those who are called by his name, he will use us to get his will done. When we look at all the things that need to happen in this world, even including climate change, he's saying, I've given you this world. You need to be responsible for recycling. You need to be responsible for making sure that you're being taken care of that that I've entrusted unto you. When it comes to caring for each other and loving one another, he's saying you need to be responsible for each other. When it comes to doing our best to police our community, it's not just our police that have to police our community, but it takes an entire village. It takes each one of us caring about our neighbors, caring about the folk down the street, caring about the folk who may not have, and helping them to have, so that even they and their children can grow and understand that this is a community who cares about me. So therefore, I ought to care about the community. We have to go out of our way, because not just because God loves us, but he has empowered us to do his will. We've been empowered to love like God wants us to love. We've been empowered to do it. And I know we may be a little afraid. We may not want to talk to somebody because we're not sure how they're going to take it. We may be afraid to say something about the Lord because we know they don't know the Lord or don't care about the Lord. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit. He's given us sound mind and a determination to do the work he'd have us to do. And I want to encourage you, do not be afraid. Have no fear, but do what God has called us to do because we have been empowered to do it. Woo! Praise his name. Go ahead and let them know, I am empowered. Yes, I've been empowered to do God's will. He's empowered us to make a difference in our lives and empowered us to make a difference in the lives of others. Romans 8:37 says, know in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. God loves us and he empowered us. Not just we could walk around and say, ooh, I am so powerful. Look how strong I am. I'm a powerful man. I'm a powerful woman. No, the power he placed in us is his power. His weapons are not carnal. They're spiritual. And he's given us the spiritual strength to transform our communities, to transform our neighborhoods, to transform our families, to transform our own lives. We have to take time to listen to the Holy Spirit within us and say, Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me. Help me to say what you want me to say. Help me to do what you want me to do, that your will might be done in my life and the lives of my family. It says we are more than conquerors. What are we conquering? We're conquering all that stuff that God wants conquered. We've conquered everything that we know needs to be conquered in our lives so God can get the glory. We're conquering hatred. We're conquering mistrust. We're conquering stinginess. We're conquering everything that is not pleasing in God's sight. And he's moving in us in such a special way that we don't have to fear. No fear in doing what God has called us to do for such a time as this. You got to say, I have no fear. I'm going to do what God wants done. Nobody or nothing, nobody or nothing will keep me from doing what God would have me to do. There is no fear. I have no fear to do what God wants me to do because God loves me. I have no fear because God has empowered me. Oh yeah, you got power. Yeah, when you got power, you can walk like you hadn't walked before. You know you have power and authority. You can do what you ain't do. The word of God is clear to tell us when Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter spoke up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, Peter, flesh and blood are not revealing that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Then he said this to Peter, And I will give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's powerful. He's given us keys to bind things on earth and to loose things on earth. And we need to take the power that God has given us and use the key and make a difference in our community and make a difference in everybody else's life. We have the power. Come on, put it out. We have the power. We have the power. We have the power. We have the power. God loves us. God has empowered us. But lastly, know this. Not only do we have to have no fear because God loves us, we don't have to have no fear because He's empowered us. But lastly, you don't have to have any fear. No fear because heaven is our home. Woo! We have no fear in doing God's will because heaven is our final home. Heaven is our home. We basically are strangers on this earth. You heard me say that many times. We are just strangers here. This is not our home. Our home is where we're going to be forever and ever and ever. We're going to leave this place and forever be at home. Well, Pastor, why do you bring that up? Why do you say to have no fear? Because the work that God tells us to do, we have to do it with heaven in mind. Let me say it again. What do you mean? The work we have to do it with heaven in mind. Listen to what Jesus says to us in Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 23. Luke 9, 23. And he said to all, Jesus speaking, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let me do it again. Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I just want to pause right there, because many times we think that it's really just about me. It's just about you. It's what I want. It's not really all about Christ. If I can't have it my way, then I'm upset. I'm mad. I'm going to turn everything out. I'm the man. I'm the woman. No, no, no. He says, if you're going to come after him. So we can come to Christ out of selfish motives. We could come to Christ just as we are. But after we come to him, he admonishes us to follow him. And if we have to follow him, there's some different rules in following him than coming to him. So if we are to follow him, he says this. If you're going to follow me, deny yourself. Take up the cross daily and follow me. What do you mean follow me? Well, we mean learn of him and then follow him. Learn the love that God has for everyone and how we ought to follow him and showing his love to others. We'll talk about it in a moment, but look at what he's saying to us. Verse 24 in Luke 9. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. I know I said it kind of fast. Slow down. He says, whoever will deny himself, take up the cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. He's saying life is about getting God's will done. It's not about having as much as we can put in our will. Verse 25 says, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? What does it profit a man, a woman, a person, if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? What does it matter if you got everything on this side and have nothing on the other side? Contemplate that for a moment. When we become a child of God, when we've given our life to Christ, when we have come to him and now we desire to follow him, with this being a year of action, he's causing us to do things. And what are we going to do? We're going to do his will. We're going to do what God has called us to do. Look at verse 26, it says, for whoever is ashamed of me, Jesus speaks, for whomever is ashamed of me and my words, Of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. In other words, if we're denying Christ now, he'll deny us later. Woo! But you won't deny him, because we know we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. We will not deny him because we know he loves us and he cares for us, and we love him. Do you love Jesus? Do you love the Lord? Do you love God? Does he live in your heart? If you're committing yourself to him and you're loving him, understand, if God be for us, it doesn't matter who's against us. If God loves you, God cares for you. We got to do the work God has called us to do. Plum quotes the words of Pascal when he says, we must know men in order to love them, but we must love God in order to know him. Let me say it again. We must know men in order to love them, but we must love God in order to know him. Woo! That is so true. But John takes it a little further. He says, insists that whoever loves God must also love his brother. That's the work we're called to do. That's where there's no fear in doing what God has called us to do. 1 John 4, again, beginning with verse 18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. God has called us in times like these to love as he'd have us to love. I know there are folk that get on your last nerve. I know there's folk who say they can't stand you. I know there are folk that seem like your world would be so much better if they didn't exist. But let me let you know this. Everybody who's in your life, God designed them to be in your life for a purpose. And God has enough confidence in you to believe that because you love him and because you care for him, that you're going to make a difference in their life. You're going to move in such a way that they can come and know who he is. You're going to walk before them. You're going to talk before them, that they're going to ask, how can you smile in the midst of what you're going through? How can you have joy in the midst of all of this conflict and turmoil? How can you still look unto the hills from which cometh your help? How can you help us to understand how you can have a peace that passes all understanding? And you have to tell them, it's because I'm sold out to the Lord. It's because God loves me. It's because God has empowered me. And it's because heaven is my home that everything not will be all right, but it is all right. Oh, somebody's going to say, well, how do you know God loves you like that? How do you know God has empowered you like that? I'm glad you asked. You can let them know, I know God loves me because he sent his son through 40 and two generations who came to this earth and went about doing good. Out of all the good Jesus did, folk did talk about him. Folk did ridicule him. Folk did call him everything but a child of God. But Jesus kept on doing good. And that's our example. No matter what the world throws at you, keep on doing good. No matter how they talk about you, keep on doing good. No matter how they scandalize your name, let them know that for God you live and for God you die. And speaking of dying, look what they did to Jesus. They took him from judgment hall to judgment hall after they arrested him, right after he prayed. Can you see our Lord and Savior? After he had communion with his disciples and went to the garden to pray, then he was arrested. But not only was he arrested, they took him from judgment hall to judgment hall. They whipped him all night long for you and for me. And then look at what they did. They sentenced him to death and they marched him up Golgotha's hill. They put nails in his hands, nails in his feet with a crown of thorns on his head. And because he loves you so much, and because he loved me so much, he had no fear. He hung on the cross. And the Bible says he died. He died. But the story doesn't stop there. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all night Friday. Stayed there all day Saturday. Stayed there all night Saturday night. But how many of you know that it was early on that Sunday morning, he got up with all power, power over the grave, victory over death. He has power, and that same power he's placed to empower us to do his will. Well, how do you know that he's placed it within us? Because the Bible says he ascended into heaven, and then later he sent back the Holy Spirit to live in us and to guide us and to direct us. And the Holy Spirit lives in us, who empowers us to do God's will. God loves you. God has empowered you. And one day heaven will be our home. Somebody say, Lord, I thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for what you've already done, what you're doing right now, and what you will do. What a mighty and awesome God we serve. He loves us. He's empowered us. He's prepared heaven for us. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you will be also. If you're here on today and you listen to this message and you're saying, you know, I need the Lord in my life. I've sinned, I've come short. I know that the wages of sin is death, but I also know that the gift of God is eternal life. God has eternal life for us. So I want to admonish you right now, if you want the Lord in your life, admit that you've sinned, you come short. The Bible says we all have sinned. But also be willing to believe that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the grave. So pray this prayer with us. You can read it, I'll pray it. It's a prayer you have to pray. I can't say it for you, you have to say it for yourself. Let's pray. Say, Father, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, we ask you right now just to click on right there when you can on the screen and just click and just let us know. You can call us and leave a message. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you are now a disciple of Christ. You have an opportunity to be a member of First Africa. But thank God for you, allowing God to move in your life from today. We're celebrating with you if you made that commitment. And we want to help you to live in Christ with no fear. On this first Sunday in July, as we prepare for communion, you may take time to compare to get the elements that you need, and we can share together in communion. We'll now read our church covenant. This is a promise that's made between the members of First African and with God. And as we read today, we read that so God will move in our lives. And we take our covenant seriously, along with all that God has told us to do. So as we read our covenant and prepare for communion, let us prepare and get ready for communion. It reads, having been, as we trust, brought by divine grace to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and to give ourselves wholly to him, we will now solemnly and joyfully covenant with him to walk together with brotherly love to his glory as our common Lord. We do therefore in his strength engage that we will exercise the Christian care and watchfulness over each other and faithfully warn, exhort, and admonish each other as occasion may require, that we will not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but will uphold the public worship of God and the ordinances of his house, that we will not omit closet and family religion at home, nor neglect the great duty of religiously training our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and the enjoyment of heaven, that as we are the light of the world and salt of the earth, we will seek divine aid to enable us to deny ungodliness and every worldly lust, and to walk circumspectly in the world that we may win the souls of men. That we will cheerfully contribute of our property according as God has prospered us, for the maintenance of a faithful and evangelical ministry among us, for the support of the poor, and to spread the gospel over the earth. That we will, in all conditions, even till death, strive to live to the glory of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us perfect in every good work to do His will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. As we come to the table, we come remembering how much God loves us. We come to this table remembering that God gave His all when He sent His best. Jesus gave His all as He came and lived on this earth and went about doing good. As Jesus assembled in the upper room with the disciples to take this, He said, "This do in remembrance of me." Remember that God loves us. Remember that Jesus loves us. Remember that He gave His all, that the Holy Spirit could come and live in us. So as we come to this table, we come remembering Christ, remembering the sacrifices that He made on our behalf. So as we kneel, when they sat in the upper room, they took time to bless the bread. They took time to bless the fruit of the vine. And we'll do the same. So let us take time now to ask God to bless these elements, even the elements that you have there at home, that He will bless them as we partake, and we'll be obedient to His will. Let us pray. There truly is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoices to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. God, we ask in a special way that you move in our lives, guide and direct us as we have assembled here for this communion experience. We ask, God, that you move in each household, that you will move in each place where whoever is listening and participating right now can participate together today. If they've been baptized, if they've been baptized by, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless each one of us now, God. And God, for everyone who's been baptized and for some reason think they're not worthy, we ask that you would change it right now. Create within them a clean heart and renew a right spirit, that we may be obedient and follow your word and do your will right now. So God, bless the bread, the element that we use as a symbol of the body of you, our Lord and Savior. And Lord, bless the fruit of the vine, another element that's used to symbolize the blood that was spilled for our sins. Bless these elements and change them from a carnal use to a spiritual use, that as we partake, we're better able to live for you in no fear to do the work you've called us to do. And we will give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word of God says, and he took the bread and broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Take, eat, all of it." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And likewise, he took the cup and said, "This is my blood, shed for the remission of sin. Take, drink, all of it." Amen. Thank you, Lord. We know that they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. We'd just like to say to each one, allow God to use you in a special way to make a difference in your home, in your community, in this city, in our county, in this nation, and yes, in this world. We ask also that you remember to give through Givelify, G-I-V-E-L-I-F-Y. Give through Givelify, pay your tithes, give your offering, and always want to give God praise. Even if you want to send your offering, you can send your tithes and offering to First African Baptist Church, 23 Montgomery Street, Savannah, Georgia, 31401. Again, we thank God for you coming to share with us. It's very special. First Sunday worship experience in July. God has given us the independence because he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Let us pray. God, again, we thank you. We love you and adore you. We magnify your name. Thank you for the freedom to do the work you've called us to do when there's no fear in serving you and doing your work. And now we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit would rest, rule, and abide with us, now, henceforth, and forevermore. That all the people of God say, amen and praise God.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, G-I-V-E-L-I-F-Y. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.